the one that I don't like very well.
What is the doctor for?
He's the main pain doctor.
Oh. And you don't like him?
No, he's the one that replaced the guy that I thought was a miracle. Because that's the miracle guy retired. I can't remember what we last talked about yesterday. I know it was in Ecclesiastes, huh?
Ecclesiastes 8.
Yeah, that's a big help.
We were talking about justified in the spirit manifesting the flesh.
Oh yeah, then we talked about wait until they ask in 1 Peter. All right. Verse 5. 8:5.
Well, I just realized I'm not quite sure fully what the term justified means.
Well, the definition of being justified, I mean, you hear all the cliches in religious places, they say that just as I am, I'm justified and all that kind of stuff, but justified means that you have been made to have right standing. That's basic, and that fundamentally what justified means. I don't have a dictionary
known,
with me,
right? Huh? And it's known. You're shown to be.
Shown to have right standing.
An old cliche like justified never sinned.
I never heard that cliche, but.
Never sinned or something.
But the point of it is that. That's why it's so critical to understand that we are justified in the spirit, but we are never justified in the flesh.
We have right standing before God because of what he did.
Right.
Not anything what we do in the flesh makes any difference.
Right. Yeah. And because you believe you believe you should be justified in the flesh, then what you do, and we do it automatically, not everybody, you and I and everybody else in the universe, we take a little portion of things that we think we can do, and those what we concentrate on, and then the things that we can't do, like all the things that are called statutes. You remember the word? There's the statutes are the things that you can never know. They're just a commandment, and you command them. And that's part of what we should have studied yesterday. They are followed not because you understand them and can know about them and understand their meaning. But the statute is there because the word of God has its own power, and you know the mystery of God isn't dependent on your being in agreement with it. So that's why there are these different. There's the mikvahs, the commandments, the laws, and the statutes. And so the statutes are the ones that nobody can ever understand. Nobody can ever figure them out. And the classic one is what they say that Solomon never understood was the statute of the ashes of the red heifer, because no one could conceive of it, what it meant. And none of us ever will until we finally, you know, are in eternity without the flesh. Because if we could really understand it, then we would think we were justified in the flesh. This is real important. Manifest in the flesh, but justified in the spirit. 1 Timothy 3:16. But you understand what I'm saying? That if you, there's a whole list of sin, you know, in many places, and it lists, you know, murder, fornication, adultery, homosexuality, and then it says lying and fear. So what do? We concentrate on the ones that we think we have some modicum of chance of keeping. So we don't concentrate that murder has the same penalty. I mean, that being in a fearful state has the same penalty as being a murderer or a homosexual. We just, okay, we got to do something about homosexuals, or we got to.
And you convince yourself you're a victim of fear.
Right. Well, that's the whole point of it, is that whether you have doubt or fear or all of the or anxiety or free floating anxiety or waiting for the next shoe to drop, or the large print giveth and the small print taketh away. It doesn't matter whether you think it's positive or negative. You automatically have to come up with some structure that you can live with that makes you justified in the flesh. Now, the most common way that you're justified in the flesh because of your terrible activity is you're a victim. And so, Yeah, it's not my fault.
And I'm amazed how endemic this is, because I've seen my children, they get to a certain place, you can't accuse them of blinking and they go ballistic. It's just, they can't handle any weight of not being just perfect the way they are.
Yeah, well, the point is, the reason they can't is because their own heart is accusing them. That's what happens. And then the parents just amplify that. So, okay. We could spend the rest of the evening. We gotta get going.
We got places to go. Are we on 8 now?
Chapter 8, verse... No, we're on 5.
Ecclesiastes?
Yeah, 8:5. Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel, or shall sense, or shall not be aware of any evil thing. And a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. And the primary lesson of that, according to the ancient rabbis, was this is why the book of Esther is so important. Because Esther, who was a type of the true Israel, or Israel, was not even aware of Haman's commandment. She was just busily preparing for Passover. Now, so shall know or be sense or not be aware of any evil thing is Esther. She's occupied with the removal of leaven, so that occupied her mind. And then, but the next one is the wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. This alludes to Mordecai. So
the one who is keeping the commandment, the one who is living right, the one who is in the will, the one who is part of the bride, is not concerned with or aware of time and judgment. Right. That's the job of the man.
Yeah, now this is really emphasized in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews 10. In verse 28 of chapter 9, the last verse of chapter 9, it says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. For the law, having a shadow or a pattern of good things to come, and not the very image of the thing, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For if they would, then they would have ceased to be offered. Because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience or no more awareness of sin. That's a biggie. So back again. Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel or sense no evil thing. Now, again, and the evil thing is, in other words, nothing can stick to you. Why does it say his disciples shall? He said that his disciples would be hated of all men. You'll be reviled. You'll be whatever. And then it says, and who cares?
Right back to the red heifer.
Right, no weight.
No weight of sin that does so easily beset us.
Lay aside the weight. Now, how do we lay aside? What do we do with it? That's why only you can... the only thing that happens as longer you go is you're more aware of your own sin. You're more aware that you are the chief of sinners. You're more aware that your mind has been lying to you all these years and that you are the instead of Christ. And you set yourself up in the temple. And so that's why that has caused you to shoot it. If you have any intent and any integrity, it'll cause you to be weary. Causes you to give up. That's why he said, "Come unto me, all you that are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." It's light as a feather, lighter than a feather. So it's not that you run around and have it's like, can you imagine Esther protecting herself? No, because if you read the book of Esther, she never was, if I perish, I perish, is the bottom line of everything she does. There's nothing she does to protect herself. So that's why she is such an incredible picture of us, the bride. Everybody understand that? So, the idea then, back to whoso keepeth the commandment shall be aware of no evil thing.
Well, another way to say that is, whosoever keepeth the commandment seek God, and not all, and only God.
Right. So whoever keepeth the commandment has abandoned himself, because that's the only way you can keep the commandment. I
mean, see, evil is anything to say that that's not God. That's
right.
Not of God.
Right.
But before we talked about it, I was like translating it as I will not acknowledge evil, like I'll define it out of existence because God is behind it, therefore I'll classify it then. But after we talked about it, it's like, well, yeah, it may come, but I give it up.
It's both. It depends on where you are in the journey. I promise you, if you're sitting on the mercy seat, you're aware of no evil thing. But watch the pattern of the Old Testament, the pattern of the trip of the Jews from the world, Egypt, to the mercy seat. I mean, they went up and down and inside out and backwards and forwards and complained. And then we saw what happened to them. That's why all those things happened to them for our benefit, that we might see.
This place where he says my burden is light, that doesn't mean an extremely small amount of weight. It means uplifting. It's not you're only going to carry a little. It's this burden is going to lift you up.
Right.
I keep hearing a statute in here in the Aftermath where God is creating the bride. It's like we hear and we see. We don't do. He does.
Yeah, the minute you think you're doing something right, then you've got it wrong.
Right, then we entered into religion, and now we got to wait on this.
This is what we were talking about last night, about having your conscience purged. If you think you're doing it right, or trying to figure out how to do it right, you're wrong.
So you studied Hebrews 9, but...
I don't know what's Hebrews.
Okay, never mind. All right. Huh? Then in verse, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. You discern the time because you've been redeemed. So the redeemed time is no time. You discern both time and judgment because it's finished. So therefore you are the gift in the gift of God, which is eternal life. Eternal life without giving breath to time. Well, in judgment, it's in this world, a man can act however he wants to, but there will be a judgment and a reckoning, and that's for sure. Now, what we want is the reckoning and judgment to happen now, and we accept our death penalty because we are the chief of sinners. All right. Because to every purpose there is a time and judgment. therefore the misery of man is great upon him. We don't have to, that's obvious. For he knoweth not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be? So, I mean, this is why God is always and continually mocking us. I mean, if you think about it, all of the present day people are just a type of Nimrod. Nimrod, you remember, was the first one he built the great city of Nineveh. Is that right? Yeah, Nineveh. And he was the first really big, other than the snake, he was a big time type of the Antichrist, the instead of Christ, because he caused men to. Remember the first, the idea of a synagogue should always be a place without walls on the highest mountain, and that's where it should be. It should never be walled because it wants the wind to blow through so that it's always the threshing floor. Right? You understand that?
There's the reason for building walls.
Right.
You don't want
the wind to blow through. And you build the walls, not just externally, but the thousands of walls you build in your mind to hold the infinite number of compartments of places that you've made truces. And so you got to live in walls. And man thinks that walls are wonderful, because without walls, then we'd be subject to this and that and this. Yeah, what we'd be subject to is dependence only on God. And so that's why Jerusalem, as the first synagogue, was in the highest place in the Promised Land, and it was never intended to have walls as a synagogue. But now what do we do? We build a building. Let's build a house of God.
I'm doing it now.
What are you doing?
I'm laughing because that is what we do. We're always erecting a wall to protect ourselves from whatever's going on anywhere.
So. I'm erecting a geodesic dome.
So it's a stupid-looking wall.
Reminds me of that scene on the Mount of Transfiguration. I mean, the first thing they think of is, oh, let's build three tabernacles.
Yeah. Well, that man has never changed.
Yeah.
Verse 8, there is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit, neither hath he power over the day of death. And there is no discharge in war. Neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. We could go on forever. Let me just go through a few of them. There is no... In the Old Testament, they use the same word in Psalms for wind and for spirit. It's the same word. And it is in the New Testament too. And so... Not for wind and spirit, but wind and angels. Excuse me, it's not in the New Testament. But wind and angels are the same word. Who make the winds thy messengers, in Psalm 104. And so what they're saying is, there is no man that hath power over the wind, because the wind is the perfect type of the Holy Spirit. Remember that list? We were talking about what the wall stopped. I don't have it here.
Yeah.
Okay. So think about it. This is repeating what they're saying here. We wanna have power over the Holy Spirit, and so therefore we build a wall to protect us from the Holy Spirit. And yet the Holy Spirit, when it says that the disciples turned the world upside down, and it always says that, but nobody ever thought how they did it. You know, 12 men turned the world upside down. How'd they do that? They didn't have any communications, they didn't have any travel, they did it because they turned the world upside down because there were 12 people emptying themselves. And if by emptying yourself, you look at nature to see what happens. When you empty, there in nature, there's a low pressure zone. Where there's a low pressure zone, there's a huge storm. So the whole point, they turn the world upside down by their obedience to the faith, not by their doing something. And
or by doing nothing, than by doing something.
Do you all understand this? They didn't ever sit and plan out some evangelistic campaign. Peter didn't, Paul didn't, Thomas didn't, none of them did. They went where they were asked. They just met the need as it arose without any thought about it. I hope you understand that. So there's no man that hath power over the wind or the spirit. The rabbis say a man has no power over the wind of the angel of death. No prophet over Israel. No prophet of Israel ever had the power over the spirit to withhold it or to get it. Because if he tried to get it, then his prophecies would be incorrect and he was killed. The true prophet always resists. I mean, go to Jeremiah 20 if you don't remember this, but everybody should remember it. But let's go there anyway, just in case there's somebody that doesn't remember. Chapter 20. Okay. Jeremiah gets imprisoned. They put him in jail by the Jews. So he's in prison. He's feeling sorry for himself. In verse 7 he says, O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then, aha, I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. I could not hold back the wind. For I heard the defaming of many, fear on every side. Report, say they, and we will report it. All my familiars watched for my halting, saying, peradventure he will be enticed. Anyway, Isaiah said, when the Lord said, speak. He said, I can't speak. Moses said, I can't talk. You go on and on and on. No, so the point of it is you don't have control over the winds of the world, the actual wind, and you certainly have no control over the Holy Spirit of what he's going to do next. He's probably going to, almost without exception, he's going to have something you have no idea what it is, and in fact, your ideas for what it is makes him delay, because you're quenching the Spirit, because you're making him then, the Holy Spirit has to first destroy your idolatry before you can, because your mind, you can never know, because your mind has an agenda. And so the Spirit then, he has to destroy your that idol, positive or negative, so that he can direct you. You got it? That's why... The only reason the prophets were given, the only reason Psalms were given, the only reason the Proverbs were given, and all of the Megillah, was because of rebellion. Rebellion what? How did they rebel? They rebelled by the I motive. The same as you rebel. I don't have to go through the I motive anymore, do I? Everybody understands the I motive? Self-realization. This is the instrument by which he has deceived the entire world. The scriptures are clear. The entire world lies in deception. All the world is wandering after the beast. The beast that they're wandering after is themselves, because everything in the universe is based on the I motive. From man's perspective.
It's amazing how, if it weren't that, what else could it be that all the world could commonly wander after? There's no common thing in the world.
No, I know. And that way we could go on and on. No man hath power over the wind of the angel of death to make him withhold it from him. Neither hath he power over the day of death. The man cannot say the day to the day angel of death, wait for me until I settle my accounts, and then I will come. And there's, at least in, there used to be, in, according to the law, there's no discharge in war. A man cannot say when he is summoned to war, here is my son, or here is my slave, or here is another person that to go in place of me. We didn't have deferments then. Then neither shall wickedness deliver him that is given to it. Again, neither you might as well say there, neither shall self-seeking deliver him who is given to it. It can't happen. You cannot even say, people say it, but I mean, it's, you know what I mean. You can't say, what is the will of God for my life? Because that's the I motive. You can only abandon yourself. Where does God want me? That's still the I motive. Oh, I am just seeking after you, God. We're going to find out in a minute. You can seek after till hell freezes over and you're never going to find him. Oh, I just want to know you and I just want to be able to know the scriptures. Well, no. You just want it for you.
Perfect description of the Antichrist.
The instead of Christ. You'll do anything in the universe to keep from being in 100% dependence. You'll do anything in the universe other than present your body a living sacrifice. You'll become very religious. You'll go to the ends of the earth. You'll give your body to be, in exchange for a friend. You will give all your goods to the poor.
If you have not love, that's
the... And the joke of the universe is that you are living totally by the mercy of God. And you are a sacrifice.
Go to Jeremiah 15.
1:5.
Jeremiah 1:5. This is, there's just been a huge famine, and again, when they're talking about the, remember there have been 10 great famines, we don't realize that we're probably now in the greatest famine that has ever been, here in America. The famine of hearing the word of the Lord. So because we're eating, and the reason you know you're in a famine is because people are eating everything else. They're eating, some football game. They're eating their children's success or lack of it. They're eating a movie. They're eating a television show. They're eating what you're eating defines whether or not you're starving, right? So there's a famine in our land, but not of bread. It's a famine of hearing the true word of God. Yet we say, he's with us. And he says to us, no, I'm not, for I have long since fled the staleness of your systems and the hypocrisy of your structures and plans, for I will not be bound by the ways of the fallen creature. My ways are not your ways. Learn from this and become wise in the wisdom from above. And your ways are, you're perfectly convinced that they're the right thing to do. A I've got a family to feed, so I've got to do this. Whatever you, whatever it is, if there's anything other than this, yes, the emptying of the, for the next second, then you have an agenda.
I just think in life, what you said, it's the inclination is to say, okay, well, I will create a real good agenda that's in line with God, and then that'll be my agenda. Then I'm justified because it's all, I can attribute it to God.
That is the definition of Babylon.
Ultimate evil.
It's the definition of the whore.
Yeah.
All right. Back to what we said. Then said the Lord unto me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight. And let them go forth. And it shall come to pass, if any say unto thee, whither shall we go forth? Then you shall tell them, thus saith the Lord, such as for death to death, such as for the sword to the sword, such as for the famine to the famine, and such as they for the captivity to the captivity. I will appoint over them four kinds, or four sorts, saith the Lord. The sword to slay, the dogs to tear, the fowls of heaven, and the beasts of the earth to devour and destroy. That's pretty heavy duty. That's the judgment on the human race. That's why to know that, and so now, for you to, with Paul, for me to die is gain. Anything that's a gain to me is a loss to Christ. Even understanding. Anything that's a gain to me is a loss to Christ. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Can you maybe, and that has to be, that's not, well, okay, I did that yesterday. No.
Every one of those things goes back to the very first thing we talked about. Because I think if I understand, now I'm justified. Got it, so I'm okay now.
Let's go see one other, then we'll quit. Ezekiel 12. Verse 21. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is this proverb that you have heard in the land of Israel, saying, The days are prolonged, and every vision faileth? Tell them, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to cease, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. But say unto them, the days are at hand, and the effect or the result of every vision, for there shall no more shall be no more any vain visions, nor flattering divinations within the house of Israel. For I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall no more be prolonged. For in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word, and will perform it, saith the Lord God. And it means it's performed instantly. Do you understand that? And again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, the vision that he seeth is for many days hence to come. And he prophesied of the times that are afar off. Therefore, say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, there shall none of my words be prolonged any more, and the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord. That was written 600 B.C. You're telling me it's not finished? You're telling me you're going to read the book of Revelation as a book of what's going to happen in the future so you can read tomorrow's newspaper today? You blithering idiot. You blithering prophet of Babylon. Now, for us, let us be glad, rejoice and be glad in the day that the Lord hath made. It's the day of Messiah. The day, right, unfortunately right now, it's the night of that day. So take heed as to the light that shineth in that dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. I wonder why you never hear any Bible prophecy speakers ever comment on those two verses I read. Oh, that was for another time. See, they're either going to prolong it, it's for the future, or that was for another. It's either discernment or something that's going to happen. I mean, it's either, what do you call it?
Dispensation,
or it's going to happen in the future. Because you'll do anything to keep from accepting your death today. Does this have an effect on any of you?
Just the very thing you said. Well, I'm not going to die today. I might die next week or something, but today is okay. I got plans. I got things to do. I'll get through this day.
Kevin? I hear the wheels turning. You just trying to figure out what to say on the little thingy? Can I say Mr. Bojo?
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Bojo?
Or you could just call him John. He's the only one in the room.
I forgot.
Senator.
Mr. Bojo? John?
He's going to say, leave me alone.
No, he and I have been talking about this manifest in the flesh, but justified only in the spirit.
He talks to you.
Mm-hmm. It's because I'm the only person he likes sometimes. Take a big guy. You notice I said sometimes.